All over the world today, man is searching for happiness. He's longing for something in his life that will make him happy. You can think of some of the things that people search for in happiness. Some search for happiness in riches. In other words, they believe, if I could only be rich, if I could only become a millionaire perhaps, it will solve all my problems and it will make me happy. But dear friends, we do know riches can buy things, but it cannot buy happiness. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul said, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." So instead of riches making people happy, here the Apostle Paul tells us, they fall into temptation, into a snare, drown them in destruction, and dear friends, into perdition. And yet people search for happiness and riches. Maybe that's you here this morning. You're looking for riches to make you happy. You'll never find riches. You never find that riches will make you happy. Some search for it in religion. I came across a man, Ricard, he's a French man, he's a monk. And they say that, well, he's the happiest man in the world. Well, they mustn't know me, for I'm far happier than that man. But dear friends, because he's closed himself away from the world, and they look at him, and he's looking all quiet and calm and everything, they say, oh, he's the happiest man in the world. Dear friends, you'll not find happiness in religion. The different religions of the world will not make you happy. Some people search for it in a region. What I mean by that? If I could only go to some other place in the world and live, I'll be happy. And if you do a Google search to see which is the happiest country in the world, they say that Finland is the happiest place in the world, Denmark, Switzerland, Iceland, Norway, Netherlands, Sweden, and New Zealand, and the list goes on. I don't know where Marky Till comes on that list, but it's certainly not in the top 10. And dear friends, some people says, if I could only go to a certain country and live there, that'll make me happy. And friends, some of our people has left home in Northern Ireland. They went to the far country. And dear friends, it hasn't made them happy at all. You'll not find happiness in these things. Maybe it's relationships. If I could get into relationships, that'll make me happy. Some search for it in riotous living. Remember the prodigal son? He went away down to the far country and he lived his life, the Bible says, in riotous living. He wanted to live for the world. He wanted to live for the pleasures and the sin of the world. He said, I'd only get down to the far country. I'll live a riotous life. I'll do whatever I want to do. And dear friends, did it make him happy? No, no. He came home with his tail between his legs. It didn't make him happy at all, friends. You see, the words of our text tells us who is happy. Who are the happiest people in this world? Listen to what he says. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord. Here's the happiest people in the world today. Listen, here's the happiest people in Marky Till today. It's not the rich. It's not the religious. It's not the rebellious. Who is the happiest people in the world today? It's a people who are God's people. They're the happiest people in the world. This is what Moses is saying. He's taking his leave from the people. He says, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord. He's not the only person, of course, to ever say such words. David said, for instance, in Psalm 144, verse 15, happy is that people that is such the case. Yeah, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. It's the same truth. David is preaching the same thing. He says it's a happy thing to be a child of the King whose God is the Lord. Happy is that people. No, dear child of God, today, if you're saved, be happy. The happiest people in the world are God's people. And the scriptures reveal that God's people are a happy people. They are the only ones in this world who have true happiness. They're the only ones. Anything else is false. The only people in the world today who are true, who has true happiness, is God's people. So why is that? Why is God's people the only happy people in the world? Let me give you some reasons why we should be a happy people. They're happy because, notice first, they have been saved by the Lord. This is what Moses is saying unto this people. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord. He's telling them why they are a happy people. He's telling them why they should be full of joy. They are a people who's been saved by the Lord. Now he's turning back his mind to Egypt. 430 years they have been in bondage. They have been slaves. They have suffered greatly. And they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord sent Moses to deliver them and brought his people out of Egypt. They have been saved. And he says, happy. Happy are thou, O Israel, O people, saved by the Lord. They didn't save themselves. He says, the Lord saved you. Well, you can think of it, friends, the manner of their salvation. After the Lord poured out 9 plagues upon the people and the land of Egypt, he said to Moses in Exodus 11, verse 1, that yet will I bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and Egypt. One more plague is going to come upon them. And that plague, my friend, was the death of the firstborn. And how was God going to save his people from it? When you can look over in Exodus chapter 12, he tells them how he's going to do it. He's going to do it with the Lamb of God. They were to select a little lamb. The lamb was to be spotless, we are told. The lamb was to be slain. And then they were to take the blood and put it upon the door lintels and the door head. And then God said this, when I pass through and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And dear friends, when you turn in the word of a living God to that passage, you will see what happened. The death angel was going through. God was passing through the land of Egypt. There was cries going out in different homes, even in the home of Pharaoh. But all the children of Israel were saved. There was not one child died in their home, my friends. You see, there were a people who were saved by the Lord. Oh, it was the blood of the Lamb that saved them. This was the manner of their salvation. Think of the might of their salvation. Because in Exodus chapter 20, verse 21, here is what God said. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And notice, out of the house of bondage. And when Moses was speaking about this, in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 20, he says, but the Lord has taken you and brought you forth. Notice the words, out of the iron furnace. Yeah, out of Egypt. And we come to the word of God here, we find this. God brought them out. He brought them out of bondage. He brought them out of slavery. He brought them out of the iron furnace. Dear friends, this was the very might of their salvation. God saved them by the blood of the Lamb, and he brought them out. It was all by grace, of course. God intervened in their hearts, and he intervened in their life. Oh, happy art thou, O Israel. O people, listen. Why should they be happy? They were saved by the Lord. And dear friends, can I say to every child of God who's listening to my voice this morning in the open air, why should you be happy? You're saved by the Lord. Not incredible? Didn't they sing that hymn here? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You can think of your life, your past, your sin, and saved. There you are today. Here you are in the car park listening to the open air preaching. And you're saved. And you're saved by the Lord, the God of heaven, saved you. How did he save you? He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save you. God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. He died upon the cross, the prophet said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we're healed. It's his blood that has cleansed us from all sin. It's his blood that has redeemed us. In Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You see, the Lord saved his people. Notice, friends, this morning, by the blood of the Lamb he has saved us. Not our works. It was not of our payments. It was not our deeds. It was not our religion. But he saved us by the blood of the Lamb. Remember, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And we look to Christ. Maybe many years ago. But oh, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. A people saved by the Lord. That's why we should be happy. We're saved by the Lord. He sent his Son into the world. He has set us free from sin and Satan. If the Son therefore shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. He has freed us. We think of that great hymn, "Thou hast snapped my fetters. Thou hast made me free. Liberty and gladness I have found in thee, liberty from bondage, from my weary load, Satan slave no longer, now a child of God. I am thine, Lord Jesus, ever thine, thine I am." And my heart, listen, is singing, "Glory to the Lamb." God's people are a happy people because we're saved by the Lord. And our sins are forgiven. We have a new life. We'll never be in hell. Oh, dear friends, it doesn't mean, of course, we have our dying days. We do, of course. It doesn't mean in this world that our hearts will never be broken. Because there are times our hearts are broken. It doesn't mean at times that we shed, we'll never cry tears. Because we do cry tears. But here's something that can never change. We are a people saved by the Lord. He has brought us out from sin and slavery. He has set us free. He has forgiven us all our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, happy art thou, O people of God, this morning. Saved by the Lord. You may not be rich today, but I'd rather be saved. You may not be running after the world today and all its pleasures and all its possessions, but I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Oh, dear friends, happy are thy old people. Why should we be happy? Because we're saved by the Lord. As you listen to my voice this morning, I ask you the question, are you one of his happy people? Are you one of us happy people? Maybe you're living for the world. Maybe you are not saved. And you're far away from God. And you're not happy in your heart. And you'll never be happy in this world. And you'll never be happy in this life because you need Christ. I'm showing you from the Bible who are the happiest people in the world. It's the people who saved by the Lord. So we should be happy. And child of God, if you're not happy, when you come in through these gates this morning, I hope you'll go out happy and say, "I shall be happy in Jesus because he has saved me by the blood of the Lord Jesus." So happy people because they are saved by the Lord. Can I say secondly, they're happy people because they're special to the Lord. If you look at the words of our text, you know what he says to them? Who is like unto thee? Now think of it. He's looking at the nations, 12 tribes. He's looking at them. And he's saying these words to them. Who is like unto thee? Who? In all the world, of all the nations, who is like unto thee? And friends, here's a great truth. There was none like them. There was none like them in all the earth. Didn't matter what nation, didn't matter what country you would go to, there was none like them. There's none like God's people. They're special to them. Remember, Moses said back a few chapters in Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, speaking of this people saved by the Lord, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee, notice, to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Think of the words that Moses is saying unto this people, that God had chosen them to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Now this is found, of course, in God's word. Remember David said in Psalm 33 verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Now, this people was a special people. He said, Who is like unto thee? This can be seen, they were special because of his choice, he says to them. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, for the Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. And so this people were special because God had chosen them. Child of God, this morning, you're special to God. You're special to him. Do you know why? Because he has chosen you to be his son or daughter in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 4, Paul writing to this church at Ephesus, he said, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And Paul is writing to this people, listen, you are special. You are special to God because God has chosen you before the foundation of the world. And child of God, sometimes we don't think much of ourselves. Sometimes we get down in the dumps about ourselves. But we forget that we are special to the Lord. And there's nobody like you. That's what God is saying. Who is like unto thee? There's no one like you. He shows us that they're special with his choice. And that's true of all of God's people. He has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of that world. This can be seen in his confessions of Israel. There's a number of things I'll just pass by quickly that he referred to them. For instance, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, he says, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And God is looking at this people, and know what he's saying. You are a peculiar treasure to me. Now, you know something. If you have a treasure, it's precious. It has great value. And God's people has great value to him, a peculiar treasure. In Malachi 3, verse 17, he refers to his people as my jewels. In Deuteronomy 32, and verse 10, speaking about Israel out there in the desert place, he said he kept them, listen, as the apple of his eye. And the apple of the eye is very, very precious. And God is showing that his people, that they're very precious to them and very special to them. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 9, for the Lord's portion is his people. In fact, he refers to him in Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. Remember, he says to Moses, go into Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. They're my people. Dear friends, not a bit of wonder. They were the happiest people in the world. They were God's jewels and treasure. They were his people. They were like the apple of his eye. Not a bit of wonder they should be the rejoicing in the Lord with all her heart. And that's the same with every child of God. We should be happy. Because we are the Lord's people. Who is like unto thee? God can say that to all of his people here today in this car park in Market Hill. Those who are saved by the Lord. Who is like unto thee? The answer is very simple. There's none. So don't be down on yourself, child of God. You're saved by the Lord, yes, but you're special to the Lord. You're his child. You're his treasure. Like the apple of his eye. You are very, very special to the Lord. And there's nobody like you. And I say that when I preach, there's nobody like God's people. That's why the Lord Jesus said of God's people, they're the salt of the earth, and that's true. Now, the world doesn't agree with that. We're not talking about the world. We're talking about God today. There's nothing like the people of God. And you're special to the Lord. Remember that? And you should be happy. You should be rejoicing in the Lord with all your heart today. This can be seen not only as confessions, but his compassion. There were people who were loved by the Lord. He loved them. He tells them that in Deuteronomy. Not because they were a great nation. No, no. But because the Lord thy God loved thee. And in Psalm 47 verse 4, it says, he shall choose our inheritance for us. The excellency of Jacob. Notice the words, whom he loved. He loved them. And they were special people to the Lord. He has set his love upon those people. Not a bit of wonder they should be happy. Because God has set his love upon them. An everlasting love upon them. A love, my dear friends, that would never end. And that's why we should be happy. Saved by the Lord. A special people. Dear friends, God has set his love upon us. And sometimes we sing that, we get the boys and girls to sing that little hymn, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. And you can say that today, a child of God, to your own heart. I am special to God, and you are. And God loves me. He loves me with a great love. He loved me with a great love. That he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for me. The apostle Paul said of Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. For me. Oh, dear friends, happy is that people who can say these things. God loves me. I'm special to them. He has saved me. I'm his peculiar treasure. I'm one of his people. And I wouldn't change that with anybody else in the world, would you? Would you change your position, child of God, this morning with anybody, with the richest man in the world, the billionaires of the world? Would you change your position with him, would you? Would you change your position with the most famous pop star, a football star, whatever it may be? Would you change your position with them? Not one of us would say, I trust. No. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. And all the things of the world, all God's people, they're a happy people. We're special to the Lord. This can be seen here, as we said, in his compassion, his confessions, and in his choice. Can I say, lastly, that they're happy people because they are secure people. And you can see how Moses shows us in this particular passage. He's showing the people here that in the wicked world that they live, they were safe. And they were secure because God's protecting hand was upon them. And hearing these words would have filled their hearts with joy. Remember, God was their shield. He tells them that in the verse 19 or 29. The shield of thy help. God was your shield. Now you know a shield, it protects. That's the purpose of place in the war. It's a protection. It's between the enemy and the person. And notice here, God was her shield. Do you remember God said to Abram when his heart was full of fear one time in Genesis 15 verse 1, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield." Abram, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of your enemy. Don't be afraid of your foes. I am thy shield. A lot of God's people are afraid today. Certain things. Maybe you're afraid of the COVID. Now we are to be careful. Every one of us. Maybe your heart's full of fear. But dear friends, God says to us, fear not. I am thy shield. And God will shield us. And he'll help us through all of this. He was a shield of this people. Listen, he was their shelter. You can see that in verse 27. Notice he says, the eternal God is a refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He said to those people, just look where you are. Just look where you are. God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. You'll never fall. You'll never fall down. Why? Because God is holding you. And when you fall into his arms. Friends, listen. The everlasting arms. This is where they were. You see, they were safe and secure. He was her shield. He was her shelter. He says he was her sword. He was going to drive out her enemies. In the verse 29, "And who is the sword of thy excellency? And thy enemies shall be found liars unto thee. And thou shalt tread upon their high places." God said, listen, I'll be your sword. I will drive out your enemies. I will deal with your foes. And your feet will tread upon their high places. You see, dear friends, God was caring for this people. He was her shield. He was her shelter. He was her sword. He was her strength. In verse 29, he says, "Thy help." No, they were not going to survive by their own power. But God says, I'll be your strength. He was our salvation. He was bringing them to the promised land. God's people, saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb, were secure. And dear friends, he was bringing them to the promised land. The land of milk and honey. In Psalm 44 and verse 2, it says these words, "How I just drive out the heathen with thy land and planteth them. How thou dost afflict the people and cast them out." And God overthrew their enemies, and the Lord brought them into their promised land. You see, he brought them into that land he promised them, and their safety. He says, they shall dwell in safety. In verse 28. Oh, dear friends, can I say to you, God kept them. He secured them. It's the same with us. It's the same with us. There's much confusion and trouble in the world today. But God's people saved by the Lord. Listen, we're secured by the Lord. He is our shield. He is our protector. Remember, it says in 1 Peter 1 verse 5, if God's people kept by the power of God, not tremendous. I'm glad I'm not keeping myself, because I've been lost long ago. But oh, the Lord is keeping his people. We are secure. We're safe in the hand of Jesus Christ. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He is our shield. He is our strength. God is our refuge and strength. He's our present help in time of trouble. He is our sword. He deals with our enemies. He is our salvation. In other words, he's bringing us home to glory, every one of his children. He's bringing us all home. We are not here to stay. We're going home. I don't know when the Lord will call us home. But friends, we're going home to glory. To be with Christ, as it says, which is far better. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, it says, For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And Paul said, listen, here is something we know. We know. We know when this earthly house will dissolve and we die, we have a house, listen, eternal in the heavens. And this is true not just of the Apostle Paul. This is true of all of his people. Every blood-washed child of God is going home. Dear friends, we're as sure as heaven is just as if we're in it. We're marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. So we should be a happy people. There's people today worried, concerned, not saved. Not saved, friends. But we have a Savior in Jesus Christ. He is our shield. He is our protector. He's watching over us, and he never loses one. Never loses one of his people. We're all going home to glory. So happy is that people. His God is the Lord. If you have lost a bit of joy this morning, there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. It's to do with your own heart. Maybe you've sinned against the Lord. Maybe you've took your eyes off Christ. Listen, turn your eyes upon Jesus Christ today. Look full in his wonderful face where you sit in the motor vehicle listening to my voice. And child of God, thank the Lord for saving you and washing away all your sins. And thank the Lord that you're special to him. You're a child of the King. And thank the Lord you're secure. You're in Christ's hand and you'll never perish. And you're going home. Oh, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And dear friends, maybe there's some listening and you're not. You're not a child of God and you're not saved. Turn today with all your heart to Christ and ask him to save you. And he'll save you where you are. And cry to him for mercy. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Save my soul. And dear friends, he will save you. And he will give you everlasting life. God's people are a happy people. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord. I hope you go home rejoicing today in the Lord Jesus Christ. And say, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. And rejoice unto God of our salvation. May God write his word upon our hearts.